From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 15th day of April 2014. It's tax day. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and hear all about the price of fertilizers for this spring. I spoke this morning with University of Illinois Farm Business Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitkin. Oh, and Dave Dickey will be here too with a look at today's agricultural news on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Let's check on this Tuesday afternoon how the settlements came in from the CME Group in Chicago, where the May soft red winter wheat finished at $7 a penny and three quarters, up 23 cents today. July futures up 23 as well at 7.09 and three quarters. The hard red July, 7.71 and a half, 23 and a quarter cents higher. May futures in the corn pit at $5.03 and three quarters of a cent, three quarters of a cent higher. July at 5.09 and three quarters for the corn, a settlement price up a half. September corn down 0.5 cent at 5.06 and a quarter. December down a quarter of a cent at 5.03 and a quarter on its settlement price. And the new March at 5.10 and a half. Down a half cent. May futures of next year at 5.15 and three quarters in the corn pit, three quarters of a cent lower. May soybeans at 15.01 and a quarter, up 25 cents. July futures 14.87 and a half, up 24. August contract $14.09 and a half, up 17 and a quarter. In September at $12.90 and a half, 13 and a half cents higher. November beans at $12.29, up 9. January at $12.34, 8 and three quarters higher. March of next year at $12.38 and a quarter, up 8 and three quarters. May bean meal at $487.40, up $8.30. And the May bean oil at $42.83, 57 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the April at $145.27.5, down 7.5 cents. June at $143.42.5, and the live cattle 47.5 cents lower. And the feeder cattle finished the April at $179.22.5, down 77.5 cents. May at $179.77.5, down 65 cents. May lean hogs $121.50.17.5 lower. June at $122.52.5, down 12.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Find us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading in nearby May at $103.56 a barrel, down 49 cents. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $3.03 and 8 cents a cent, just about unchanged. Ethanol futures are 9.5 cents lower, $2.24 and 7 cents. And the spread between the two is 79 1/10 cents wide. That's 9 4/10 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.56 and 4 cents, up 4 cents a cent. Diesel fuel, 6 cents a cent higher, $2.98 and 5 cents. Gold futures at $1,300 even, down $27.20. And the U.S. dollar trading 79.8. That's down, or rather up, 0.04 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area on this Tuesday afternoon. It says mostly sunny skies this afternoon, a high of 43 degrees, a west-northwest wind at 14 miles an hour. That will gust all the way to 20 miles an hour for the afternoon. And then this evening, clear skies, a low of 30, west-northwest winds at 5 to 7 miles an hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 57. It'll be breezy tomorrow, and a south wind at 10 to 15. That'll increase to 20 to 25 in the middle of the afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 34 tomorrow and Wednesday evening, partly cloudy and 39 degrees. That south wind will continue at 10 to 18, gusting to 24. On Thursday, partly sunny skies and 64 degrees, a south-southwest wind at 9 to 11. Thursday night, mostly cloudy and 44 degrees in the area. And then on Friday, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy, and a high near 58. Friday evening, 38 degrees and cloudy. Saturday, sunny and 60. Saturday night, cloudy and 43. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Dame. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. This is WILL AM 580. You're listening to Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. It is the 15th day of April 2014. It is tax day. Time to check in on the futures markets. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, is on the phone line. Good tax day to you, Wayne.
Yes, happy tax day to all the rest of you. You know, it was the day we had to make sure none of our SEP payments sent in postmarked by today, so that way. But what a day in the bean market, Todd. You know, up 24, 25 cents here, up 9 on the new crop, and on very little news.
Yeah, so what was it? I mean, we didn't kill a crop because there's not a crop to kill anywhere.
No.
I don't know. What happened?
Well, there was anticipation of the crush, which was very good. It was higher. There was talk that there was bull spreading to try to tighten up the old crop beans that we look to run out of if we don't import some beans or cancel some of our exports we've got on the books. And basically the technical picture was pushing up. They made a run back at the $15 mark, and of course the May did close above the $15 mark tonight. The rumors out of the Ukraine and with the Russian troops and what was going on, there was one point through the day we saw a rumor of a plane shot down over the Ukraine, but could not find any confirmation of it. But there is continuing to be skirmishes, battles, and war of words, and moving of troops and whatever over there that makes it a very hot spot as far as thinking that there could something erupt any time. You know, wheat up 23 cents on that sort of news.
Yeah, I think I saw actually a Russian news agency report on the plane that said it was a training run and that it just crashed. So we'll see how that plays out as time comes. But the wheat market has been pushed both by weather and by Putin. But I want to come back to this beans just a bit, because the $15 mark in the old crop beans, and get your thoughts on it in particular. So the push here, I guess, Wayne, and maybe hopefully you can give me some better insight, is that we're really tight on old crop beans. Everybody knows that, and they either have to limit, I guess, usage in the United States, or they have to have enough of a price push to be able to import beans into the United States. And either way, they have to go up.
That's basically what the it was on. And then, of course, when we got the crush, the NOPA crush data, I think that was about the highest monthly crush for going back to, I think, 2007 or something like that. So, you know, it was a very big crush. You took the inventory that we had as of March 1st. You took the crush off for the month and the exports that we had, and figures down very, very tight stocks, again, even tighter than what they were expecting and projecting. So that was the push on the old beans as far as that, but there wasn't any other big announcements of export sales today or anything along the lines like that. But just a very tight situation here, and the you know, the processing plants using that many beans, when they're saying there aren't many out here to buy, it was awfully hard to see whether they come up with that many, to be very honest.
So on the wheat market, we know, of course, that anything that happens in Russia and the Ukraine is a speculative risk management move on the part of the trade. But there are other things that happened. The weather last night in the Great Plains was really cold. We won't know about damage, I suppose, for a while.
No, and to go along with that, we know of quite a bit of wheat that's been failed by crop adjusters up in northern Illinois. Other ones in different places, of course, going out there. But we know about 500 to 600 acres that have already been considered failed crop in DeKalb County, Illinois.
Oh, is that because it didn't make through the winter?
It through the winter,
oh,
yes.
Oh, it was so hard. I had not heard that and hadn't really thought about boy, the winter was really harsh.
Yeah, the winter was a little rougher than usual this year.
Well, and it won't let go. We had snow here last night, too.
I had to scrape my windshield this morning.
Yeah,
so,
I have ice on the snow. Yeah, that's the way it goes. So let's see. We've got lots of things happening in those marketplaces. And then corn just was, well, kind of neutral for a while.
Well, I mean, basically, as we look at our weather forecast, I mean, let's be realistic. We look like we should be able to get in the field next week in Illinois, Indiana, and parts of Iowa. And we look to be, you know, catching up really fast when we get there. So as we look at that, you know, we've got some weather pre-minute already, but if we get to the field, that's one of the reasons we think that corn just stayed behind the wheat and the beans today, is because of the anticipated planting next week. And that, you know, let's stop and think here. We do have plenty of corn to get through this year. It's not like we're going to be in tight stocks going into the year. And if we do get out fast, plant lots of corn acres, we'll be in the same shape again next year.
Yeah, I went through those crop progress numbers, and we have Mark Schleusner with a little audio update here in a bit. But I think if you listen to him, what you may hear, and this is what I heard, was that last year, or maybe I didn't hear it there, maybe I read it, one of the two, but last year we were 1% planted at this time, and this year in the state of Illinois, we're at 1% planted, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically, we're on line with last year. We had a, you know, very, very good crop last year, but, you know, we'd still like to see this get in. The big thing that we have going this year is the El Nino. Looks to be a good year for growing corn and beans. But there are some of the weather forecasts saying it'll come in a little later and might be hot and dry early. So we'll have to see which one comes to fruition.
What do you think of the livestock market at this point?
The livestock market, you know, we are pushing up at some really high levels that we still have tight supplies, just like the beans, all except it's in meat. And, you know, they're going to stay strong, but it's going to be hard to push to new highs in this level here until we see how many fewer hogs that we do actually have because of the PED coming online here later down in the summer.
Well, we thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana, and joins us here on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Well, we'll hear from Mark Schleusner just in a bit here on the Closing Market Report. A couple things to remind you of. You can always visit our website to find all of our information. But if you can't get there to willag.org, you can dial this number, 217-333-3434. At about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day, we update that voicemail with a few numbers and some analysis. So dial in at 217-333-3434, and you can get an update of the marketplace each and every business day. It comes to you from willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of the 13th day of April, 3% of the corn across the nation in the 18 reporting states, that's 3%, had been planted. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 6%. We'll hear some updated numbers from the state of Illinois in just a moment. A couple of other items that come to us from this particular report. We don't normally tell you about the number of oats that have been seeded across the nation, but I think this is kind of a telling figure. On average, around the nation at this time, over the last 5 years, 47% of the oats have been planted. That is in 9 reporting states. This year, just 9% of the oats have been planted. As to the winter wheat, 5% of the winter wheat is now headed across the nation. That compares to 4% last year. The condition in the 18 reporting states is said to be 12% very poor, 20% poor, 34% fair, 30% good, and 4% excellent. Now here's an update from the state of Illinois.
This is Mark Schleusner, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, April 13th. Corn planting finally started last week, but rainfall late in the week stopped progress. Only 1% of the state's corn acreage was planted by Sunday. That compares to 1% last year at this time and 10% for the five-year average. Last week was quite warm, with a state average temperature more than 5 degrees above normal. Soil temperatures were in the 50s around the state on Sunday and even at or above 60 degrees in southern locations. Precip was below normal last week around the state. Overall, the state received just more than 3/10 of an inch of rain, which is more than 6/10 below normal for the week. Topsoil moisture conditions were reported as follows. 1% of topsoil is in very short supply, 9% is short, 73% adequate, and 17% is surplus. For subsoil moisture, 5% is very short, 27% is short, 61% is adequate, and 7% is surplus. Oats planting reached 38% complete, up 9 points from last week, but still behind the five-year average of 58%. Winter wheat conditions were reported as 9% in very poor to poor condition, 35% was in fair condition, and 56% in good to excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Our thanks, of course, go to Mark Schleusener for his update of the Illinois State Statistician's Office place and how far along planting is. As we go through the growing season, we'll hear from more of the state statisticians across the Midwest.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, as we get ready to start the planting season, just a reminder that you should be safe while you're out there. Make sure you get a good amount of sleep. The folks in the health and safety areas here at the University of Illinois remind producers that 8 hours, and anybody who actually works outside or with dangerous equipment, the rest of us too, because we mostly drive to work, that we really do need about 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep to make sure that we are safe on the roadways. Now here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, three futures traders have filed a lawsuit against CME Group Incorporated, alleging the exchange operators sold data to high-frequency traders ahead of other participants that also paid to see the data first. The lawsuit, filed in an Illinois district court, is seeking class action status on behalf of users that have traded futures contracts on the Chicago Board of Trade and the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from 2007 until April of this year. The plaintiffs allege CME charged exchange and data fees for real-time price data and purported that the data was sold to the users in real time. The suit further states that CME allegedly also charged high-frequency traders for the ability to see the data before others, including people who paid and continue to pay CME for seeing the same data first. CME said the lawsuit was devoid of any facts. The World Trade Organization predicts global commerce will grow 5.3% next year, an improvement that would bring it back in line with its 1993-2013 historic average. In its annual report, the Geneva-based WTO also forecast that world trade will rise by 4.7% this year, an increase of 0.2% compared with the previous forecast for 2014. The figures reflect growing confidence that developed countries have recovered from the economic crisis that caused global trade to slump in 2009. The Homeland Security and Public Safety Committee in the Texas House of Representatives are considering proposals on a possible change to state rules and regulations following the ammonium nitrate explosion in West Texas last year. 15 people died, hundreds were injured, and hundreds of buildings were damaged or destroyed. The committee is on target to offer draft legislation by the end of June or early July. State lawmakers are looking at putting the responsibility of collecting and maintaining required Tier 2 reports that include details about chemicals and other materials stored across the state, including ammonium nitrate, on the shoulders of an agency other than the state health department. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. You can find him on Twitter at David A. Dickey. You can find me there, too. I'm at Commodity Week. If you follow Twitter, I think this is a good place to keep up to date on what Dave and I are following in the marketplace. He's at David A. Dickey, and I'm at Commodity Week. That second program there, Commodity Week, by the way, we'll record on Thursday afternoon this week because Friday is Good Friday. The marketplace is closed. You can always find it up at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist at the U of I, to take up the price of fertilizer and compare it to previous years and what it might mean for producers in 2014. Gary, you went through the numbers. Let's start with anhydrous ammonia. It is generally one of the more expensive inputs for corn.
Yeah, and this April, AMS price for average for Illinois was $704 per ton, which is higher than it has been since September. Most of those months we've been in the $600, sometimes as low as $654. So the April price was higher than it has been in recent months, but still below where we've been for the past 3 years.
It's indicative of price decreases in the other fertilizer inputs?
Yeah, other fertilizer inputs have decreased as well. Overall, for 2014, we're looking at right now $673 price for anhydrous ammonia, which is down from the $800 plus levels that it has been. DAP prices have been around $530 this year. And that compares to something over $600 in 2011-2012.
And potash?
Potash has been in the $450 range, and that is lower than in recent years and when it was in the $500-plus range.
Did you plug these into the crop budgets, and what does it tell you?
For corn, we are looking, if those prices and those decreases of prices then hold through this year, we're looking at fertilizer cost in the $150 per acre range for corn, and that would be down from the $200 range it has been in 2013 and 2012.
Hey, that just about makes up the difference in the cash rent price that we talked about in earlier segments, doesn't it?
Yeah, so we're going down $50 an acre, and revenue is likely to be down, $150 or $200 an acre. So it helps.
Well, it doesn't make up for it all.
That's right. It doesn't make up for it all.
But it does help, and so producers should feel more at ease. And we have a little increase in what we expect for the average cash price for the 2014 crop.
So right now, cash prices have been rebounding. We're no longer as pessimistic as some people were. There's a good chance that we'll have mid-fours and maybe higher fours for 2014 year.
And honestly, I suppose really that puts you at a break even more often than not rather than a loss more often than not.
That's right. So, given average yields, we're probably looking at break evens in the 420 to 440 and, 450, 460, 470, and we're making a bit of money.
All right. Thank you so much, Gary.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke is a farm business farm management specialist at the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, in 2 minutes I'll return. We'll talk with meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Glazed Ham Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1819, Oliver Evans died, an American millwright. Evans invented the first automatic corn mill, and he pioneered the high-pressure steam engine. Evans' corn mill used bucket elevators to raise the grain and a hopper to cool and dry the meal. In 1854, New York became the first state to fund a study of insects harmful to plants. In 1874, George Harrison Schull was born, an American botanist. He is frequently called the father of hybrid corn. As a result of his research, corn yields per acre increased between 25 and 50%. He developed a method of corn breeding that made possible the production of seed capable of thriving under various soil and climatic conditions. In 1878, Harley Proctor created Ivory Soap, and in 1955, the first franchised McDonald's was opened in Des Plaines, Illinois, by Ray Kroc, who purchased the hamburger restaurant owned by the McDonald brothers. On opening day, a two-patty hamburger was 15 cents, and French fries sold for a dime. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming is on the phone line. Don, last night we celebrated the Funk Awards that, as many here in my part of the world will know, was given to the College of Aces, or the Agricultural College here on campus, by the Funk family that started Funk Seeds out of Bloomington, Illinois, and awards really talented folks in the College of Aces, thanks to the Funk family. They were there last night. We did a really great event just north of town at Pear Tree Estates. If not been there, go. It's a great place. But something really odd happened. It was, what, April the 14th, and it snowed. And it was unique for the month of April, that's for sure. And I saw something from you earlier in the week. We got maybe snow that stuck around for a bit, but you got a lot of snow earlier in the week, didn't you?
Yeah, there was quite a bit of snow over portions of the central and northern Rockies over this past weekend. And, boy, places like Great Falls, Montana, under winter weather advisories for tonight and tomorrow. And there will be some opportunities for snow across some of the northern plain states later this week. Now, the good news for the Midwest and Corn Belt is that the next snow event coming here in April hopefully is going to stay to our north as we get to the end of this week and into the start of the weekend. But, Todd, it's still going to be a struggle, at least here for another week, in terms of any consistent warm-up.
Snow means that we have had cold weather, especially cold for the month of April. I'm a little concerned about the hard red winter wheat belt, and I did make note one of the overnight lows in the Texas Panhandle was all the way down to 19 degrees, though that was kind of an outlier, it appeared to me.
Yeah, in fact, we don't have any reports yet that I know of damage, but certainly temperatures did get quite cold and were cold long enough that there could have been. You know, not only are those areas looking at severe cold, but boy, they've been suffering some very dry conditions. Some of those areas did pick up a little bit of precipitation with that storm this weekend, and they may have another chance in some areas of southern and eastern Colorado and far southwest Kansas, as well as the panhandles, of another front bringing them a chance of rain and snow again. And I don't think the temperatures will be as cold with this next system, but they will probably go below freezing again.
You keep talking about the next system. Can we get out to someplace where we actually warm up when we look further down the road?
Yeah. There's a long line forming with the same question that you have, so pick a number, and we'll get to you later. But to answer your question, we do see that the rest of April is still going to bring some episodes of cold, but as we transition right around the 1st of May, it does look like May is not going to be as cold, at least relative to normal, for a lot of the United States, including the Corn Belt. So I think there's warm on the way, but still another two full weeks of this roller coaster before I think things are going to settle down.
That may be the longest 2 weeks that farmers and others in the Midwest suffer through for a long time, because that seems like a really late in the process and pushing the start of the growing season back a long ways at this point.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to have to keep a close eye on what those soil temperatures look like. And, you know, one thing, not necessarily an issue in central or southern Illinois or Indiana, but for our friends up further north, the closer you are to the Great Lakes, not only is the ground cold, but with remaining big areas of ice still, that's going to have a long-term impact with those cold water temperatures in the lakes as we get at least into the early part of the summer.
Thanks so much. Don Day Jr. is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report.